It's time for another episode of Getting to Know You for September 2022. Our guest this month is Chris Westbrook from Pennsylvania. To conduct our interview, here is our host, Susie B. from Tennessee.
Welcome, everyone, to tonight's edition of Getting to Know You. And tonight, my guest is from Pennsylvania, and it's Chris Westbrook. Welcome, Chris.
Thanks, Susie.
We're going to start out with our normal basic questions. First being, well, a two-part. Where were you born, and where did you grow up?
Well, I was born in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, which is where I grew up at. I had to be transferred to a different hospital because I was born 3 months early. So I was born in Carlisle and then immediately transferred to a bigger hospital. But I grew up in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, a small town.
Were you born blind?
Yeah, I was born 3 months premature, so.
Okay, so prematurity is what caused your blindness. Was there any treatment or anything they could do to improve your vision?
They tried different surgeries, I guess, when I was little. I don't remember any of it, of course, but from what I've been told, they tried different things, but none of it worked.
Do you have siblings?
I have one younger sister.
Okay, let's talk about when you started to school. We're jumping quite a bit. Education-wise, did you go to public or residential school or private?
I went to public school. I had sort of the best of both worlds. I had a public school that we had like a resource room for blind kids, and we had a full-time teacher who was visually impaired there, and I went in for the, I went out for like story time and things like that. I was with the other kids, but normally I was in this resource room with the other blind kids, and so we learned Braille and travel and all that kind of stuff, and so that was good. And I was in there until third grade, and then fourth grade I went to my regular school district at home. I had to be bused to this other school district until I was in third grade, and then fourth grade I went to my regular elementary school. I was one of the first students to go to my regular school, so that was kind of cool.
Now, you were the first. Because you were the first, did that also mean that you were the last one that was ever there?
I don't know if they've had any other blind kids since me or not, but as far as I can tell, maybe I have been.
Okay, so they didn't shut the doors on that idea. When you went to the regular public school, did you have your textbooks and your materials in an accessible form?
Yeah, they were all in Braille. I learned Braille at a young age, and so I learned Braille and used Braille all the way up through school. Used audio somewhat, but of course audio was all cassette tapes back then. Now they don't use cassette tapes anymore, but I remember having to find the right cassette tape and then having to find the right page, and that was fun.
Yeah, Chris, but it wasn't on reel to reel. Now that's a problem. Before you got to high school, were you involved in activities other than, your classroom requirements?
Well, I started playing an orchestra when I was 9. I started playing the violin around that time. And about 9 or 10, I started in the school orchestra. And that was my biggest activity outside of classes. My parents and I went to church sometimes, but I never got that involved in it. We never really got that involved. So that didn't come until adulthood. But yeah, orchestra was my big thing.
Okay, how big was this orchestra?
Well, in elementary school, because the school was so small, the orchestra was probably more like an ensemble than an orchestra. But when I got to middle school, of course, it got bigger, and then we got the full orchestra with the band and everything else, and that was pretty cool.
In terms of subjects, did you have a favorite subject in school?
Well, probably math, and then in 11th grade, when I took computer programming, that was probably my favorite subject after that. But before that, it was probably math.
Well, I meant to give you choices. I mean, favorite subject besides recess and lunch. But since you didn't mention those, I didn't have to go that route.
That's funny.
In high school, well, again, was orchestra your only outside activity? Or were you involved in any clubs or other things?
Orchestra was pretty much it. That was pretty much my swimming extracurricular thing. I did a little bit of volunteer work at the hospital, but that was more to put on my resume for college than it was. I wasn't really helping a whole lot, but I guess somebody thought it would be a good idea for me to do that, so I did that. And but yeah, orchestra was my main extracurricular activity.
Well, that was a really good move on whose ever part suggested that. In high school, with this orchestra thing, did you all do any performance that kind of was kind of a highlight?
Not really, to be honest. They were all about the same. They were all kind of pop music kind of things. Some classical stuff, but mostly pop music type stuff. And they were all good. I mean, I enjoyed it. I especially playing with the full orchestra.
Did you all perform for like a special group or go to perform for the governor being inaugurated or any of that sort of thing?
We went to an orchestra festival a couple times. That was kind of neat because we heard other schools play and, you know, other orchestras from other school districts and different things. And that was kind of cool. But other than that, we mostly just played for school concerts and things like that. I never really played. Well, I played in a recital for private. I took private lessons all through. I can't remember if I took any in high school or not. I think I might have all the way through high school. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I did. But I played in recitals for that. That was kind of neat. Forgot about that.
Well, before you graduated from high school, did you have any idea of what you wanted to do when you grew up?
Thankfully, yes. After I took that programming course in 11th grade, I pretty much knew that that was the route I wanted to go, or at least try. It was kind of hard to do. It's kind of hard to do all my other classwork after that, cause, you know. But I did it, and I graduated. But yeah, that course was a godsend for me because it gave me some direction.
Okay, after you graduated, what did you do? Did you go to a rehab center for independent living training, which is often what happens? Did you go to college or work or time out?
Well, I should have probably gone to a rehab center first. Probably would have done me a lot of good. But no, I went that summer between high school and college. I worked for a guy that did assistive technology for the state. He hired me for, I think it was $25 an hour. And we went around to people's homes, and I would help show kids things while he set up the computer, or I'd set up the computer while he showed kids things. And that was kind of neat. After that summer, then I went to college and went to two colleges, actually. Not at the same time. I wasn't that smart.
Okay, so the area that you studied in college was, I think it's called something different now.
Yeah, it's called information. Well, it was called information technology. Sometimes it's called computer science, but it's all kind of the same general thing.
Now, in college, of course, you have lots and lots of reading that you have to do. How did you handle that and handle taking tests?
I tried to work it out with my professors as far as taking tests goes. Sometimes I'd have to go down to the disability services office and take it down there. But I tried to work it out with the professor that they would just email me the test and I would do it and email it back to them. Most of them were pretty amiable to that, but there were a few that were not. But then I just went to disability services. As far as books go, I used to scan them all. It's hard to believe now with all the electronic stuff we have access to now, but I used to scan them all. Again, that worked out, for the most part, worked out pretty well. But I'm glad kids today don't really have to do that anymore, from what I understand.
See, being able to scan them, that sounds like a dream to me. Okay, I know you're going to say that was in the olden days. Can you think of any one major hurdle that you experienced before age 25?
Probably the biggest hurdle was, as an aside, I really have a lot of respect for older blind people that went to college because I know it was a lot harder then than it was for me. It's just like it was a little bit harder for me than it is for the people that are coming up now. As far as my hurdle, probably the biggest one was I had a statistics class and I had a professor that really didn't want me to be there. And I needed a tutor and all that kind of stuff to get through that, but I made it through. I got a C, and I was never so happy to get a C in my life.
My hat is off to you for the statistics completing that. And yeah, there was a lot of times that I prayed for C's. After graduation, were you able to find a job?
Yeah, again, I was pretty fortunate. I graduated, and I was looking around for a job, and in about September of that next year, a friend of mine from college had this job opportunity here in Montoursville, which is like the next town over from Williamsport. So I went back up to Williamsport, and I've been here ever since. But yeah, I was pretty fortunate to get that job, and I kept it for 14 years.
Okay, you kept that job 14 years. You have a different job now?
Yeah, now I work for a company called Alliant, which is an accessibility company. We do web testing for websites for accessibility, and we do PDF remediation, which I'm not involved in that part, but I'm involved in the testing of the websites for accessibility and stuff like that. So I'm using my programming background to do that, so it's kind of cool.
Okay, Chris, what only thing we have talked about is the vision part. You've had other disability hurdles as well, right?
Yeah, I got two other major ones, the hearing and then the fact that I can't walk so well. I have to use a quad cane when I'm walking around. I didn't have that one up until about, it's probably been 8 years ago now that I got that. I had a herniated disc in my neck, and that caused some damage, which weakened my right leg, so my right leg is weaker than my left leg, so I have to use a quad cane on my left side to stabilize myself. But yeah, the hearing loss is another thing. I've had that since birth. Well, I don't know if it's exactly been since birth, but since I can remember, so it might as well have been.
Do you remember when you got your first hearing aid?
No, the one thing I can remember is Mom clipping them to my shirt so that I wouldn't throw them. So apparently I used to throw them whenever I would have a temper tantrum or whatever. Not that I mean, I don't know why I said that. I don't know why I would have ever had a temper tantrum, but apparently I must have had, like, you know, one little one or something. Please don't ever contact Mom.
Well, I should have called her and asked her to be here tonight. I could have put her on speakerphone. But recently, within the last few years, you had some major surgery dealing with your hearing. Tell us about that. What prompted it and your decision to do it? And we'll go from there.
Yeah, it was called a cochlear implant. It's I had been thinking about it for a while, you know, because I'd had people tell me that, hey, you know, this might be good for you. And then I roomed with a guy. I go to NFB state conventions here in Pennsylvania, and I roomed with a guy that had one, and he was telling me how much of a game changer it was for him and that I should think about it. And I thought about it, and I was like, hey, you know what, I should check this out. And so I called John Hopkins down in Baltimore, and we went in for a consultation, which took a while because they had to do their own. They had my hearing test from the audiologist, but they had to do their own testing. They told me that I was a good candidate, and then it was just a matter of deciding whether I really wanted to do it or not. And that was a little bit of a tough decision, but I just decided that I didn't have much hearing in that ear to begin with, so even if I lost it all, it wouldn't be that big of a deal. So I just decided that I was, you know, because that was always the reason I didn't look into it before, was I was scared of losing that hearing. But then I realized I really didn't have that much hearing over there to begin with. So if I lost it, yeah, it would stink, but it wasn't, you know, I'd still be able to do most of the stuff I do now. I decided to go through with it, and it was a huge learning curve after I got the implant in. I had to basically learn how to hear it because I never had hardly any sound on that right side, so. But the fact that I had sound from the left side and had memories to work with, I think they still told me that helped me out quite a bit. But it was still, for about 3 to 6 months, it was a little bit of a challenge. Well, a lot of a challenge to navigate life. But then I'm glad I did it now.
There's a lot more to it in terms of it working than just having a high-powered hearing aid put in there, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You have a surgery that they put electrodes in your brain. And then after about, I guess it varies from hospital to hospital. I think in my case, it was about a month later. You get this processor thing and it goes on your head. It's kind of like a hearing aid, although it doesn't actually go in your ear. It goes on your head, it's like a magnet on your head, and that's where the processor goes, on this magnet. And then, so I have a magnet in my, right underneath the skin. That's how I know where to line the processor up, because it just goes, right in there. But it still has a battery, just like the hearing aids do, so I have to be mindful of that if I'm going somewhere. I have to make sure I have the extra battery with me. Yeah, there's a lot to it. But it's more than just a hearing aid. It's interacting with the brain, basically. It's kind of crazy when you think about it.
Okay, that was in your right ear. Is that correct?
Yep, that's right. I still have a hearing aid in the left ear.
Linda Lee mentioned the violin, and of course you did too, that you played that in an orchestra. Do you still play the violin, and how has that been affected by this implant?
Music is the one thing that I don't enjoy quite as much as I used to before the implant, but I'm getting better. I still play violin. I play violin with my church, with the organ and stuff like that. So I do enjoy that. We have a couple other violinists that I sit with and play with. I don't practice all that much because the hymns are really easy for me because we play a lot of the same ones, you know, over, say, a month or 2 months or whatever period. So I know a lot of them, you know, by heart now. So once they start playing it, I know what song they're going to play. So I don't really have to practice a whole lot. But I don't take lessons anymore or anything like that. But I'm starting to enjoy it more. It's just these implants were made for speech, not for music. And music is apparently a lot more complicated. So it used to sound absolutely horrible. And now it doesn't sound absolutely horrible anymore. It just sounds okay. I'll take okay, because I can hear so much more speech than I used to. I mean, when I hear you now, you're coming through the implant the way I have my computer set up. And I used to never be able to talk to anybody on my right side like that. You know, you're coming through exclusively through the implant right now. And I still am amazed at that, you know, that I can do that. Because that used to never happen. Because I had so little hearing in that ear, it was pathetic. They didn't even complete the test when they ran the test on me. They did the one part of the test, and I did so poorly, they didn't even bother to continue.
Now, I know the violin, when you play it, it's on your, I guess, on your left shoulder. So, had you had the cochlear implant in your left ear, would that have made your violin playing more difficult instead of better?
Probably. And actually, I could probably get a cochlear implant in my left ear if I wanted to, but I don't really want to because of that. And because I'm doing well enough with the right ear, you know, I'm doing well enough in my life, I have enough hearing that I can do pretty much everything that I want to now. So I haven't really considered having another surgery, but some people do. Some people get bilateral cochlear implants and they do pretty well with them from what I can gather, but I'm not really interested at this time. If my left ear takes the, you know, dive, my hearing takes a dive in that ear, then I'll consider it. But right now, I'm not considering it.
Okay, let's skip to something else. Do you live alone? Do you have an apartment? Or do you live with your folks?
I have an apartment. I live by myself. We have tenants that live upstairs. They're on vacation right now. Otherwise, you'd hear them in the background upstairs. You'd hear the twins running around. They have twin children, and they're both, I think they're like four now? Three or four, something like that. And they're running all over the place. So, but anyway, my parents actually own the house that I live in. They decided that one of my friends was going to buy it, and we were going to live together, and then he backed out. My parents saw it, and they decided they liked it well enough that they would buy it. So that's what happened. And so I'm paying my parents' rent, which is fine. My parents and I have a good relationship, so I'm very fortunate.
That is really good. You live alone. Are you a gourmet cook?
No, I'm a microwave cook. I get these meals from Freshly, it's called. It's the refrigerated meals that you just take them out and you just put them in the microwave and take them out and eat them. And they're pretty good. They have a lot of different meals. So I get 6 meals of those, and then I get other stuff for lunch. And occasionally I'll get something to eat, order in, or sometimes if my parents come up, we'll go out to eat. But that's my cooking. I wouldn't know how to use a stove or anything like that, but I can use a microwave.
All right. Well, you're a microwave gourmet. How do you handle bill paying and shopping?
Well, you have a service here called Instacart that delivers groceries, and that's how I do the grocery shopping. So as bill pay, everything that I can have set up is set up on automatic bill pay. The only thing that's not is my rent, because I can't get the bank to automatically send my parents a check, which I don't understand that. But my rent and my garbage, everything else, all my other utilities and everything is automatically paid for. And my credit cards are on auto pay too. So I really don't have to worry too much about bill paying and stuff. It all just kind of happens, which is kind of nice. I'm lucky I have the financial, you know, flexibility to be able to do that. But I still try to watch what comes in and goes out. But as far as the actual payments of it, it's all pretty much automated.
Sounds like you have a very good system of handling things. What about transportation in your area?
We have paratransit here. I used to use them. I don't really use them anymore because, unfortunately, they're not open anytime I want to do something. They're only open Monday through Friday, I think 8 to 5 or something like that. So I use Uber a lot. Not a lot. I mean, I don't use them every day or anything because I work from home, so I don't have to go to work. But I use them, like, if I need to go get a haircut or I need to go someplace special. Every once in a while, my parents will take me, or I'll find a friend to take me somewhere. But most of the time, I use Uber, which I kind of enjoy that because I like getting out and talking to people that I haven't talked to before and learning different things, you know, about different people and stuff. And it's kind of neat.
Do you have any hobbies?
Well, I'm very involved in my church. So that's probably my main hobby outside of work is doing different things with the church, doing different things with the music and helping out with the website and just going to services. And we have small groups at our church on Wednesday nights, so I go there on Wednesday nights. And yeah, that's probably my main hobby outside of work is doing church. I like to read some too. I like to read nonfiction stuff, true stories about different things, sometimes about Christian things or whatever. Those are probably my two big things.
Is there anything that you would like to add that we haven't talked about?
You know, I was just thinking today, I don't know why I didn't mention it the other day when we talked, but I used to have a guide dog from about my second year of college until he retired, and I'm not getting another one, I don't think, but his name was Atlas. That's why I used to go on here by Chris and Atlas. Well, I don't think, yeah, I was on here by Chris and Atlas at one time. So if any of you knew me under that name, that's why. So that was interesting, going to guide dog school. And I could walk a lot better then, so I just, it was pretty neat. But I'm not getting another one now, but I sure have a lot of good memories.
I do remember Chris and Atlas. Yeah, I remember that very well. What school did you go to?
I went to Guiding Eyes for the Blind because they had, I think they still have, like, a special needs program. Because I had the hearing loss, they were able to accommodate me, and I was still with the other students. So, like, when we went out walking, I would be with an instructor by myself, not with the other students. But as far as meals and things like that, I still had them with the other students, and I had a roommate that had another, you know, I had a roommate and stuff like that. That was pretty neat. I don't know whatever happened to him, though. He sort of disappeared. I don't know. Maybe one of these days I'll find him.
Maybe you can find him on Facebook. People seem to be able to find folks that way. Okay, if you can't think of anything else, guess what? The gang gets to ask questions. And remember, if there's anything they ask that you just really don't want to get into, all you need to say is, let's move on. And that's it. So before The crowd gets to ask questions. Anything else? I feel like I'm doing an auction.
No, I think we covered it, Susie. Thanks a lot for doing the interview. And now I'm going to run away. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'll stick around for whoever has any questions.
Okay, gang. Let's just try one question per person until that's exhausted, and then we can go for a second one. But if you're keyed up and somebody else gets the key before you, please let go of the key. Otherwise, Chris doesn't get a chance to answer the questions. And I think we'll have plenty of time. So, gang, here's your chance to ask questions. Good luck.
Yeah, I just want to make one comment. You were saying that you don't have your rent set up automatically. Now, I bank with Chase, and while they can't take the rent out, what they do is they just send, I have it set up as a recurring payment, and then they just send my landlord a paper check every month, and that seems to work okay.
Yeah, thanks for that. I'll have to look into that, see if my bank has something different, or see if I can find a bank that does that.
Chris, what is your favorite meal?
I really like a good steak if I can find one. I haven't had one in a while, but I really like a good steak. Steak and potatoes and maybe some cheesecake for dessert or something. That would probably be my favorite meal.
Chris, you were talking about you use the microwave and you get Freshly meals. That's a brand name, or is that a organization that puts them out?
No, that's a brand name. You get them once a week. Every week you can change your order for like the next week. And you get a big box, and they have these huge ice packs in them that are like, but it's not regular ice. I think it's dry ice or something like that. That's the only bad part about it, is it's a pain in the butt to get it in the house and get them in the refrigerator and stuff. But once you do that, it's super easy. And I have my parents usually come up once every couple of weeks, and so they'll take the boxes home with them, so I don't have to worry about getting rid of them. Otherwise, it would be a pain in the butt. I used to get TV dinners from Hungry Man or Lean Cuisine, and those were pretty good. So if the Freshly thing didn't work out, I'd probably go back to doing that. But the Freshly meals are a little bit better because they're fresh and they're not frozen. So I like them a little bit better. Since my parents are able to come up and dispose of the stuff for me, it works out pretty well.
Yeah, Chris, I also have the credit union here sends out our lot rent check every month. So it's set up as a reoccurring, and it works well. I was in and out of the room a couple of times, but I don't think I heard you mention how you got started on chat sites. I know, but I don't think everybody else does, when and where you got started.
Yeah, that's a good point, Terry. I was on For the People way back when. I think I was on it when we were doing VoxChat and Lipstream and all those other things before we settled on Chatterbox. And then I was on VIP since it started. So yeah, my first introduction was For the People.
Chris, back to the food thing for just a second. How do you keep track of which meal is which?
I don't care enough to really keep track of it, honestly. I always have one of each meal, so I don't have different, I know they're all going to be different every week. So it's not like I could get the same meal twice. And, I do try to make sure that all the meals are eaten before the end of the week, so I don't have meals piling up all over the place. But as far as keeping track, I just pull one out and put it in the microwave and take it out. And I guess I'm having chicken tonight. I don't care enough to. I figure if I ordered it, I must like it. So I just, it's a mystery night every night.
Hey, Chris, I don't know if you've answered this question or not. If you did, I'm sorry. When did you graduate from college?
Back in 2006. My gosh, it seems like a long time ago now, but I know to some of you that's like not that long ago.
I remembered it, but couldn't remember when. Thank you.
Chris, you mentioned For the People. How old were you when you joined For the People?
Oh, gosh. Like 12, 13 maybe, something crazy like that, 14. Maybe a little bit older than that, but I think I was around that age.
Yeah, actually, we brought Chris up from a little pup. But so we've known him a long time. What a character. Chris, I'm just curious, how much older are you than your sister?
I am 6 years older than Sally. So we, growing up, we didn't really get along. I mean, we didn't have any really bad fights or anything, but we just didn't get along. But we get along a lot better now that we're older.
Any other questions?
Chris, I'm fascinated that your favorite subject was math, because it just, to me, I was able to do what little math I did when I still had enough vision to use paper and pencil, but I just can't imagine how blind people do math with Braille. And you say it was your favorite subject.
Well, see, I was lucky. I had hard copy Braille for math, which I think you really need to have. And I knew I had a good teacher that taught me the code for math, the Nemeth code. And I don't know, when we got the algebra and stuff like that, it just clicked for me. It just made sense. Once I got it, it was like, you know, and then each thing built on the thing before, and it just clicked. I just was like, I like this stuff. I don't remember half of it now, but I'm sure if I looked over it again, I'd probably pick it up again.
Chris, if you were to pick a favorite restaurant in this town or city you live in, what would that be?
Oh boy, that's a good question. There's some local places around here that are pretty good. I'm trying to think. We used to have Ruby Tuesdays here, but they closed, and that was a bummer because that was a really good place for us to go. Lately, we've been going to like a local bar kind of place. Panera is actually one of my favorite. Panera Bread, that's one of my favorite restaurants now, I think. At least on a national chain anyway.
Chris, I'm always interested. I don't know if this is a great question, but it sounds like you live a little bit away from your parents. Do you live in a smaller or a medium town? Because I know when I moved from the Twin Cities to a smaller town, it was just quite the difference. So when you first moved out, was it a smaller town, bigger town?
I'd say Williamsport is bigger than where I grew up, but it's definitely not like a big city. So like we have paratransit, but you know, it's not, we have a bus system, but it doesn't come close enough to my house to be useful. So it's not like a big city where you can just go anywhere, you know, at any time of day or night or whatever. But yeah, it's probably a medium. I'd say it's a medium-sized town, but it's definitely bigger than where I grew up at, which is kind of interesting because it's a, you know, we have like grocery delivery and things like that, but it still kind of feels like a small town. Everybody kind of looks out for each other. You know, all the Uber drivers I've met have been super nice. I don't know. I like it. It's a neat place to live. Of course, I think I get the best Uber drivers because I have a good rating with Uber, so I get, you know, the highest rated drivers.
Any other questions? Well, Chris, I want to thank you for allowing me to interview you. It has been a real treat, and my hat's off to you. You have really accomplished a lot. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks, Susie. It's been fun. Trip down memory lane.
It's been nice getting to know you.
This has been a presentation of VIP Conduit.